Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, FERC and Demand Response Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 14, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Federal Energy Regulatory Commission v. Electric Power Supply Association and Enernoc v. Electric Power Supply Association. These consolidated cases involve the efforts of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to specify the methodology that operators in the wholesale electricity market use when compensating users for a commitment to reduce their consumption at particular times, a phenomenon known as demand response. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit determined that FERC lacked statutory authority to impose such a methodology. The Supreme Court agreed to consider the following two questions. 1. Whether FERC reasonably concluded that it has authority under the Federal Power Act to regulate the rules used by operators of wholesale electricity markets to pay for reductions in electricity consumption and to recoup those payments through adjustments to wholesale rates. And 2. Whether the D.C. Circuit erred in holding that the rule issued by FERC is arbitrary and capricious. Justice Alito appears to be recused from this case. To discuss the case, we have James Coleman, who is Assistant Professor at the University of Calgary, Faculty of Law and Haskayne School of Business. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Coleman.
Last Wednesday, the Supreme Court heard argument in EPSA versus FERC, which is an important case about the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's power under the Federal Power Act. The court's reviewing a D.C. Circuit ruling that held that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, could not mandate compensation for groups that pay consumers to reduce their electricity use during times of peak demand. The idea is that on times of the day where there's a particular need for electricity, maybe it's hot and there's a lot of people running their air conditioners, or maybe it's during a time of day where people are particularly likely to use electricity, at those times, FERC is mandating compensation for groups that collect commitments from a ton of retail consumers to reduce their demand for electricity, to stop using so much electricity, turn the air conditioner down if it's at a major industrial facility, or potentially stop running for a period of time. The D.C. Circuit held that this FERC rule was interfering with states' power to set electricity rates for their own consumers. Now, the court heard argument on Wednesday, and there were only 8 members because Justice Alito recused himself from the case because of stock that he holds. The remaining 8 members of the court seemed closely divided. If the court splits 4-4, then the D.C. Circuit ruling would end up affirmed, which would mean that the rule was still struck down. Now, the Federal Power Act was adopted in 1935 to give the federal government power to regulate wholesale electricity rates in interstate markets. It responded to a 1927 Supreme Court ruling in the Attleboro case, which said that states could not regulate wholesale interstate sales of electricity. That created what's called the Attleboro Gap because it left electricity that was sold interstate at wholesale, in other words, not to retailers, but to distributors of electricity who would go on and sell it to consumers. For those wholesale rates, they were unregulated, and that created what was called the Attleboro Gap. That's why Congress passed the Federal Power Act in 1935 to give the federal government authority to regulate those rates. So as it now stands, the Federal Power Act, or the FPA, divides jurisdiction over electricity sales between the states and FERC. It preserves the state's traditional authority to regulate retail transactions, but it gives FERC exclusive authority to regulate interstate wholesale transactions. So again, that means states are regulating the rates that electricity is sold to consumers of electricity, and FERC can regulate those wholesale rates, which is the rate at which electricity is sold to people who will go on and sell it to more people, in other words, to consumers. Drawing the line between wholesale interstate rates and the retail transactions that states make has or states regulate has been difficult historically for the court. Sometimes the court has said that it's looking for a bright line to divide those wholesale interstate sales from retail state-regulated sales. But scholars and the court have both wondered recently whether it's even possible to draw any kind of bright line between those two sales. Because the FERC rule was invalidated by the D.C. Circuit, Solicitor General Donald Verrilli began the argument in front of the court, and he pointed out that the regulation FERC had adopted was designed to regulate the wholesale market in the sense that FERC was mandating compensation for aggregators of demand response. Again, demand response is when consumers respond to high demand by cutting back their electricity uses. And what the Solicitor General argued was that because they were aggregators of demand response and they were being compensated in wholesale markets for electricity, that FERC's regulation was clearly on the wholesale side of the line that is allowed for FERC to regulate under the Federal Power Act. He also argued that this kind of regulation was crucial to making sure that wholesale markets for electricity work well, because if demand response aggregators could sell into those wholesale markets, then that would mean that not as many people were using electricity. Basically, this is what's called negawatts as opposed to megawatts, because instead of people purchasing electricity to use, it was people being paid not to use electricity. He was supported in this argument by Carter Phillips, who was representing the demand response aggregators who received compensation under the FERC scheme. Now, both General Verrilli and Carter Phillips were asked several questions about how to draw a line dividing wholesale rates from a state's power over retail rates, and they were critiqued by Paul Clement, who argued on behalf of electric utilities challenging the rule. And his argument was that the FERC regulation was designed to affect retail consumers because the only one who conserves electricity are the retail users who decide not to use it. That FERC's rule was aimed at the ultimate consumers of electricity, and those retail sales to consumers are what the Federal Power Act leaves to the states to regulate. And so Paul Clement argued on behalf of the electric utilities that FERC was effectively regulating retail consumers of electricity. During the court's argument, it seemed that Justices Scalia, Roberts, and Kennedy were quite critical of the federal government's position. Justice Thomas, as is his custom, did not say anything at the argument. On the other side, Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and potentially Breyer seemed more skeptical of the argument from the Paul Clement from the electric utilities and seemed like they might be more willing to rule for the government. Although Justice Ginsburg didn't speak, if one imagines that potentially Justice Thomas would vote with Scalia, Roberts, and Kennedy, and that Justice Ginsburg would vote with Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer, that would leave a court that was evenly divided 4-4, and that would mean that FERC would lose as the D.C. Circuit opinion was affirmed by an evenly divided court. If that is the case, we may find that out quite soon because there would be less need to write an opinion. With that said, a decision wasn't issued on Monday, so we don't know. Perhaps one is coming in the near future. If it takes longer, we may think that the court is at least trying to come up with an opinion on the issue. There was a second issue involved that potentially may come up if the court is able to reach a majority on the initial question of whether this is within FERC's authority. And that second question is whether the compensation that FERC mandated for demand response aggregators is a reasonable compensation. In an alternate holding, the D.C. Circuit held that it was not. And so it's possible that the court could say that FERC does have jurisdiction to mandate these payments to demand response aggregators, but it chose the wrong measure of how much they should be compensated. That's a complicated issue on which the federal government argued that FERC should receive deference.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.